Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
To bring forth, the Lord gave me the word anticipation. Everybody say anticipation. Now, of course, we know what anticipation means. It's an excitement, but of course, you have to always define what you mean because it does have different meanings, and I didn't get a chance to enter any of this stuff on the overhead, so I'm gonna just have to read it to you. It's anticipation is an expectation to expect that something is going to happen. When you come down for Christmas, and Christmas seems to be our greatest season for anticipation, especially when we were kids, we would see the boxes for, I don't know, at your house, sometimes my parents would stick it out there for weeks. And we would see the boxes, and when they left, you know, we'd be shaking them and doing all sorts of stuff to them. And they didn't send the good stuff out that we really wanted until the last night. But they would send teasers out. And so we just couldn't wait to Christmas. And we were not the kind of family that got to open one gift on Christmas Eve. We had to wait for Christmas Day. But there was always this anticipation, excitement about what did we get for Christmas? Well, as we've been fasting, as we've been praying, I hear the Spirit of the Lord say to us, we need to have that same anticipation for what God is about to do in our lives. See, the thing about my Christmas presents, although I remember some, I don't remember all of them. There's only those highlight gifts I remember. Amen? And I think all of us are the same way. We probably got hundreds of gifts, but I only remember the highlight ones. And that's how natural things are. They come, they go. The anticipation is there. You open the box. You're excited. You say, oh, thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad. Next one. That's the way you were as a kid, you know. Then you go back and play with your favorite one. But with God, that anticipation can always be present. So I want to talk about a little bit before we get into the things that we need to have anticipation for. I want to talk about the anticipation of our prayers being answered. Because I think the whole challenge of the church, the reason why so many people have trouble praying, is they really don't believe that their prayers are going to be answered. And that's not the way that the church is supposed to respond to prayer. And so let's talk about that for a minute. And we need to walk in anticipation when we pray. Everybody say walk. That means you, when you pray, you expect something's going to happen. You're not just saying, oh, Lord, I just say this just because it's a religious thing to do. No, when you speak and you ask God for something, you should expect that whatever you said is going to happen. We should know that if we ask for anything according to his will, he will do it. Everybody say, he will do it according to his will. And that's always the trip up switch for everybody. So let me read 1 John 5:14 and 15. This confirms what we just said as a group. This is, when I was memorizing verses, this is one of the verses that we memorized and one of the ones I still hang on to because it's something you use on a regular basis. 1 John 5:14. Now this is the confidence. Now we always talk about confidence, right? Confidence is what? What does it mean to be confident? Assurance. This is the assurance. This is the guarantee. This is what you work for. This is what it's all about. This is the assurance that we have in Him. Amen? That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Say, God hears me when I ask according to His will. And then it goes on to say, and if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Now notice he uses the word know. He doesn't say we hope, we wish, we think. He says if you ask anything, the only if is the part about the will of God. So the first thing we have to do, if we're going to have this anticipation, is what are we praying and how are we praying according to His will? We don't always know what God is going to do, but we should anticipate or expect Him to do something in answer to our prayers. What does that mean? That means that it's not, oh, see, a lot of times too, we get stuck in this. How are you going to do it, Lord? How are you going to do it, Lord? And we spend too much time on the how instead of the you're going to do it, Lord. Leave the how to God. Everybody say that. Leave the how to God. Leave the how to God. And you just know that He will. Yeah. Amen? Amen. And another verse that we all have heard, and this is the verse that Jesus shared when He had gone by the fig tree and He commanded the fig tree to wither and die. He says, no man ever eat from you henceforth. And the next day He came back and the disciples saw the tree. And I'll pick up in verse 22. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. But it all goes back to 1 John 5:14, if it's according to His will. Now, a lot of people, and I've been guilty of this just as like everybody else, we get lazy and we pray a prayer and then we say, but Lord, only if that's your will. That's being lazy. You know, you say, Pastor, why is that lazy? Because you can search out and find out if it is His will before you ask Him. So you don't have to qualify it with, well, Lord, if you, because it's really like an out for us. It's like, well, it doesn't get answered. Well, I guess it must not have been God's will. So, no. Find out if it is His will and then ask. Then you don't have to worry about an out. You know that He's going to answer. See, and then the other thing, other struggle, and then we're going to get to some points of His will, is people, time causes a rift in our faith. The time difference between asking and receiving causes a challenge to our faith. And we have to learn to remember that it is His will to answer according to His will. Amen? But these are three main postures of most people's prayer. There's some others, I know, but these are the three main ones. The first one is, Lord, I hope You'll answer my prayer. The second one is, I believe God will answer my prayer. But then the third and final one is, and this is where we need to get to, we need to know that God is going to answer our prayers. Everybody say no. Notice that in, like I said, in 1 John 5:14, he said, if you ask anything according to his will, he hears you. And if you know, K-N-O-W, he hears you, knowledge, have knowledge that he hears you. You know, K-N-O-W, that he will answer the petitions that you've asked. So you have to get out of a hope and a believe and get into a know. That's the transition that you make from the time you ask until the time you receive. You fight to get to know. You fight, you have to contend with the enemy to get to know. Because the enemy wants you to constantly doubt. Notice Jesus said to them, he says, and if you say this and don't doubt in your heart, you will have what you say. Amen?
Amen?
But you have to know. And so the first thing I want to ask, what are some of the questions, or how can we get to know his will in certain situations? In other words, let's just do a survey. What do you know about God that is definitely, without question, his will? Just give me one thing that comes to mind. What is one thing that you know is God's will that if you ask, God is going to answer that prayer? That we be healed. It is actually God's prayer, and I'm glad you mentioned that. I have that one. And it says in Matthew, where's the healing one? It's down on the list. Number three, 1 Peter 2:24. And let's just go there. Because we have to know that God is in. Now, let me say this too. Now, there, you're going to get a lot of opposition when you talk, and I hate to say this, but it's with believers. There's a lot of believers that don't really believe God heals. Now, they'll say, well, God uses medicine, and God can do whatever he wants to do. All right? But we all know that most doctors are not believers. Right? We know that. For they call themselves scientists. And they feel that faith and science don't mix. So many of them have left the belief way long ago. There are some believing doctors, and thank God for them. But most of them are not. That's why you get some strange things coming out of the medical profession sometimes. And yes, God can use whomever he wants, but remember, God is the healer. And God is the only one that can do miraculous healings. Doctors can do a lot of things, but they don't do miracles. Amen? Especially if you're not asking them to do a miracle. You're just asking them to operate on you. That's not a miracle. It might be a miracle that they know how to do it, but it's not a miracle in the sense that it just happened all of a sudden. But it says here, what did I say? First Peter 2:24, thank you. It says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Now, most people will read the first part of that passage. Nobody has any problem with the fact that Jesus bore our sins. Every Christian believes that. Am I right? Or you're not a Christian? If you don't believe that Jesus bore your sins on the tree, then you're not a believer. Amen? But also in the same sentence, it says, by whose stripes you were healed. So why is it that they take the first half of that and run with it, but they fight over the second half? Have you ever asked yourself that question? I go to a Bible study all the time, and I used to have to argue with my believing brothers about healing. I said, well, how come everybody's not healed? I said, that's not my answer. I don't deal with that question. That's God's business, and he will answer you if you want to really know. But let's not use that as an excuse for unbelief, because that's what happens. Well, I prayed for so-and-so, and they didn't get healed. They died. Yeah, I've prayed for a lot of people, and they've died. But that doesn't change the fact that God heals. The problem now, let me make it real. When Jesus prayed for people, everybody got healed. There was no, well, I'm not sure when Jesus laid hands on people, everybody got healed. Because Jesus had the perfect pipeline. Amen? There's no question about what Jesus, when Jesus asked, he got it. Now we are trying to get there. Everybody say, we're trying to get there. But we're not there. So sometimes when we pray, things don't happen the way it is. But that doesn't change the reality of the truth of his word. And that does not change the fact that we continue to stand, we continue to pray, we continue to trust God, we continue to believe, we continue to stand on his word. We continue to believe no matter what happens. Because if you remember the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what they said before they went into the fire, he said, look, I'm going to tell you right now, our God is able to deliver us from this fire. But if he does not deliver us, we still aren't going to bow regardless. And see, that's the kind of faith we have to have. I don't know what's going to happen to my body, but I know that God can heal me. But no matter what, I'm going to still trust God no matter what the outcome is. That is what I would call violent faith. That's controversial faith. That's the kind of faith that'll make you be called a fanatic. A person that has no sense, has lost all sense of reality. That's the kind of faith that the world does not understand. But that's what you have to get to if you want to see God do miracles in our lives. We can't just be everybody else, have faith like everybody else. You have to stand out. So what's another area that is the will of God? I'll give you the first one that I have. It's God's will that everyone get saved. That is his will. You might say, well, look, Pastor, everybody's not going to get saved. I know that. But it is God's will that everybody get saved. Let's read it. 2 Peter 3:9. Just a couple of verses from where we were. Come on. Let's get it going. Let's get it going. Now this thing gets stuck. There we go. That's the only time you sometimes wish you had the book still. But beloved, do not forget that one thing that one day with the Lord, let's start over. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years and a 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise as some count slackness, but is long suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish. But all should come to repentance. That's God's will. So when you need to pray for somebody, you pray based on this. Lord, you said nobody, you don't want anybody to perish. So I pray for my unsaved loved ones. I call them in. You might say, well, how come it takes so long? If it's God's will for them to not perish, how come some perish? Well, of course, the reality is everybody doesn't do God's will. That's the reality, okay? The second reality is that God has to work on their hearts just like he had to work on ours to get them into a position where they're now ready to receive and then they can believe. But an unbeliever's heart, the Bible says, they're at enmity or they're enemies with God. They don't want to believe. Just remember when you were not saved. It's like, I'll get saved when I get old. After my young running days are over, then I'll think about getting saved. You know, that's the enemy. That's the devil. Because how many knows, a lot of folks don't ever finish running out of their young days. They think they're young. They're 65 years old. You see them still doing this. I mean, come on, man. It's over. It's gone. You don't got it no more. But they still, in their mind, they still got it. That's the way the enemy tricks you. Your youth never runs dry in the world. So you always got a new excuse. Oh, not now, man, not now. I'm about to do this. No, you've done it, and it hasn't worked. But it takes a revelation to know that you need salvation. I don't know how many times I have to say that, but that is so true. That's why people who say stuff like, yeah, right before I die, I'm going to jump out the hell boat and jump into the heaven boat. No, you're going to miss. Because the boats are not that close to each other. You're going to miss out because you may not even want to be saved. And the devil will condemn you at that point, say, how do you think, why do you think you're going to now get saved after 90 years of living like the devil? And all of a sudden you're going to get saved. And then you're going to turn around and agree with the devil because you've been agreeing with him all your life. Are you with me here? That's why it takes so long to get some people saved. God has to manipulate their hearts. The Bible says everybody has a heart of stone towards God. And he says, and I have to take out that heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh so that you can understand the gospel. And it's amazing how simple the gospel is. And like when I got saved, I told Annis, because she was the one who led me to Christ, and I asked her, well, how come everybody's not saved? This is so simple. All you got to do is confess that Jesus died for your sins, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and he says, thou shalt be saved. Well, man, if it's that simple, it's too simple for some people. He says, my sins are too great. I can't. That's just too easy. No, your sins are too great, and therefore it has to be easy because there's nothing else you can do about them. It has to be that simple, otherwise you'll never get it. You'll still be trying to work your way out of it. That's why all the religions are still trying to work their way out of their sins to salvation. Amen? But Jesus bridged the gap. So salvation is the will of God. Let's look at some other things of the will. What's another thing that's the will? So healing, salvation. The second thing I have on here. To prosper us, absolutely. Or to meet our needs. Now you have to say meet our needs because some folks can't stand prosperity. They got money on the mind. But just say meet your needs. But a need is different for different people. I mean, if you got one child or seven children, who's got a greater need? Huh? Come on, you. Common sense tells us what? The one with a seven have a greater need than the ones with the one, right? So the seven family with seven kids, which if they have two parents, nine total, they need a big house. Or a farm, one or the other, right? So in order to get a big house, you have to have big money if you're going to live in Seattle, or you're going to have to move to another city so you can get a big house. But the people with one child, they need, if they just want a modest house, God will meet your need according to your faith, be it unto you. Amen? And the same with anything else. God uses whatever your faith level and your need level is. He will meet your need according to your faith level and your need level. Amen? So if you think you want more from God, you have to believe that he's able to do, as the scripture says, exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you could ever ask or think. According to the power that works in you. So he has promised to meet your needs. We know Philippians 4:19. Matthew 6:28 through 33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Romans 8:31-32, "If God be for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but freely," everybody say freely, "gave him up for us all, how shall he not freely give us all things through him?" All things. It's only you that limit all things. Well, that doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean it to you. But it does to somebody else, because they have not put a limit on all. Well, all can't mean all. Okay, it doesn't mean all then to you, but it does to somebody else. Amen? And that's where we have these divides in the church. Because all means all to me, but in some churches, all don't mean all. And I don't mean churches, I mean church people's hearts. See, the biggest challenge, the biggest restriction of God is his people. Remember Jesus went to Nazareth, right? In the Bible, he went home to see his peeps. Jesus didn't have peeps, but you know what I mean. See his people. And he's preaching. And what do they say? Where did he learn all that from? Ain't this Mary and Joseph's boy? And y'all used to play out in the street with him? And aren't we married to his sisters and his brothers and James, Jude, and Joseph? Ain't they over there living? What makes him think he can do all this stuff? And the Bible said, what about that? He could not do many works. I'll say it out loud. Now, did Jesus have less power in Nazareth, or was it based on what they believed? So even Jesus couldn't do miracles amongst people who wouldn't believe. So why do you think we have such a challenge in the church then? Because there's such a strong strand of people that just don't believe. I mean, they preach don't believe. They don't believe in tongues. They don't believe in this. It all stopped when the Bible was written. All these things they come up with. The Bible said Jesus Christ the same when? Yesterday, today, and forevermore. That doesn't sound like he stopped anything. I'm the Lord thy God and I change not. If he doesn't change, then what's all this stopping? It's stopping because you don't want to believe it. But it doesn't change the fact that it's there. Amen? Amen. So, God has provided for us based on what we can believe. But the second thing, and this is important because this is our day-to-day walk. God wants us to be free from all the entanglements of sin. Amen. The entanglements. You know what that means? That means when you were in sin and the problems that you had in sin, and then you got saved and you tried to bring them into the body of Christ, he wants to sever you from all those entanglements. That's what we call bondages. That's what we call oppressions. That's what we call anxieties. That's what we call the snares of the devil. See, because all of us, every one of us, without fail, were enrolled in the devil's university before we got saved. Amen? That means we were taught life by the world. Amen? Everything we know. I mean, this is dangerous, but hear me out. We learned how to do marriage in the world, most of us, before we actually came into the church and tried to do it. But notice the church is still divorcing because we didn't get it right. And we still thought it was about, well, I don't love him anymore. I don't feel like I love him anymore. But you made a covenant. with him. That, do you remember that? You know, we're now covenant people. We're not, I just don't feel like it anymore, people. That's one of the entanglements of the world. People just don't want to do stuff because they don't feel like it. And that's why we don't have faith to believe. Because I don't feel like I have faith. When faith is based on what? The word. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word. It doesn't come by your feelings. It comes by the word. And deliverance doesn't come by feeling, nor healing come by feeling. A lot of times, and we have to be careful too when we pray for people. So did you feel anything? Well, sometimes God does allow you to feel stuff. But that's not what you base your healing on. You base it on the word.
Amen.
And even say, Lord, even if I don't feel any different, your word says, by your stripes I'm healed. So I'm going to stand on your word. I'm going to stay with it. And when you start to feel pain, you say, Lord, I feel that by your stripes I'm healed. That's what I feel. By your stripes. So you have to walk. And this is what I'm talking about. Walk until you get to know. We've been hoping. We've been believing. But we got to walk until we get to know. I know I'm healed. I know I'm free. I know I'm set free. I'm no longer entangled. That's what the battle is. That's what we're fasting for. That's why we take a 3 day, and you know, 3 days is not, I mean, in the real year, come on, 3 days out of a year is not much, but it can change your whole life because it can change your perspective up here. Yeah. Notice how, and this is wonderful because I've been looking, you know, since Annice has been struggling a little bit with her health issues, I've been looking at a lot of dietary things, but I notice a lot of diets are saying, and every now and then you need to fast. And they ain't talking about biblical fast. They're just talking about don't eat. But add to it a biblical fast and how much more powerful that's going to be. Because not only did your body get cleaned out from the junk, now your mind could get cleaned out from the junk because now you're putting the word in it. And now you can begin to take authority over your body. Amen? So what we got? People get saved, that's one. Get rid of the entanglements of sin, that's two. Get healed, that's three. For God wants us to love him and that he wants us to love people around us. That's the will of God. Those are the two commandments he gave us. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then love your neighbor as yourself. But got to qualify and define love because everybody, now everything, well, they love each other. No, they don't love each other. They just want each other. And you and folks are wanting everything now. So love is not want. Love is defined the way the scriptures define it. So you can love people and still say no. Now, that's not popular, though. You can love your people and still tell them no. I mean, I had a guy come to me, try to ask me for some money, and just got nasty about it. He said, I think I was driving the Range Rover. So he figured just because I was driving the Range Rover, I got money for him. I may have money, but it's not for him. And so he comes up to me and I say, I don't have cash. I don't carry cash. I do most things by debit card. So I tell him I don't have cash and he calls me a liar. I say, you lying because I see the car you driving and the clothes you got on. And so you lying and he started cursing at me. I said, wait a minute. I said, why don't you go get a job if that's your attitude? This is my job. I said, okay, well, at least you're honest. Because that is your job. You're right. That is your job. And you know what? I'm not buying your product. How's that? If that's your job, I have a choice to choose, and I'm not buying that product. And so, I mean, he just was going on, and I said, you need to watch your mouth, because don't get carried away. And, you know, I didn't get ugly with him, but I just couldn't believe the attitude. he had. And you might say, well, that's cruel, Pastor, that you said no. No, it's good for him because he needs to learn that that's not his job. He's nothing wrong with, well, something might have been wrong with him. I'll give him that. Something he might have had some issues. But I am not obligated to support everybody who asks me for money. The Bible, some people say, well, the Bible says that any man who asks you to give, give to them. But keep reading. Because then he says, give only to those that are shown themselves worthy. He goes to give only to the widows who show themselves worthy to be widows. And then not only that, he said, and those that have family members, let them take care of them. Amen. So that you mean to tell me the church is not supposed to help everybody? That's what the Bible says. It says you be in the church, not the church building, but the people in the church. You help your family. You help the people that need it. And then God will help those that are really do need it, or God's house, for that matter. But sometimes you have to tell people no. And that still means you love them. Because no can help them out of what they have. Because some folks are in the predicament because somebody never told them no. They never got a no. Their parents wouldn't tell them no. So now something happened and they're in a bad situation and people are telling them no and they don't know what to do. But no is loving too. Amen? No is a good answer sometimes. I mean, you wouldn't, if your child who's 8 asked you for the car keys, you wouldn't just say, oh yeah, here. Get it, be careful. No, you wouldn't do that. You just say, "Are you? What are you doing back there? What are you sniffing that Elmer's or something? Get away from over there! Get away! You're not driving. There's a bike out there. Go get that. That's what you're doing now. See me in about 8 years, then we'll talk about you driving a car." No, the answer is no. And now we think that's a bad word to tell people no. Say, when a man wants to marry a man, no. When a man wants to become a woman, no. Just no. You can't. No matter what you do, a man can't be a woman. And a woman can't be a man. No matter what you dress up like, it doesn't change anything on the inside. The battle is inside. It's not the outside. Amen. See, what does the scripture say? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. That's all the visible. But the world wrestles against flesh and blood all the time. That's why we can't get united, because they're in the flesh. You can only unite in the spirit. You can't unite in the flesh, because there's always a divider in the flesh. I'm about to close. So I'll pick up next time, next week. Yeah, we'll just pick up next time. But this is what anticipation is. Anticipation is that when I do something in the name of the Lord, in the will of God, I'm going to see something happen. Amen? Amen? And that's the way we have to act, walk, believe, trust. That when I speak, not me, Harold, I'm speaking as the scripture says, as the oracle of God. Meaning that I'm speaking as if God is speaking through me. As Harold has taken up, he's been removed. And now I'm walking in the spirit. Amen? And we have to get to the place where this is the confidence that we have. We're confident. Not in me. See, that's the problem. We've gone through a self-esteem movement. Yeah. And it ain't helped nobody. Yeah. All we do is feel better about being stupid. But confidence, true confidence, comes from the fact that you know God hears you. Yeah. And I am assured that when I speak, he's going to respond. Not because I'm some great person. I'm in him. I'm in his son. And I have the right Because he said, I can boldly. Everybody say boldly. That has to do with confidence too. Boldly come before the throne of grace and ask for help in time of trouble. You don't have to, God, I've just been beat up so much. And if you would just find a way. I remember the Bible story that said, if you just let me have a crumb. See, that's what we just want, a crumb. The crumb was for the outsiders. The insiders were eating the whole loaf. Amen? So don't be an outsider. Be an insider. Amen? All right, I'm going to have to shut up. I'm going to have to, oh, I said shut up. All right, I'm going to have to be quiet. I don't say shut up most of the time. Anyway, let's stand. But anticipation. Everybody say anticipation. Anticipation. That's where we need to get to get to that next level that we've been talking and we've been praying about. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. I want you to lay hands on somebody next to you. Believe that God is going to do a miracle for them. Father God, in Jesus' name, come on, grab somebody, Tamron. We command sickness to go out of this building and the bodies of those in it. Lord, we command blood to flow properly so that you said the life of the flesh is in the blood. And Lord, there's so many ailments that are caused because the blood flow doesn't work properly. High blood pressure, strokes, heart attacks, diabetes. All these are blood flow issues. And Lord God, I pray that the flow of the blood in our bodies runs like you had created it to run. We command headaches to go because there's enough blood and oxygen that goes to headaches, the head. And there's no lack of anything. So Lord, we speak health. We speak healing. We speak deliverance. We speak freedom to everybody that is under the sound of our voice and everyone that we have our hands laid upon. No sickness nor disease can abide in their body anymore, because by your stripes we are healed. And we send your word to heal in the name of Jesus. And we anticipate your answer, because it is according to your will. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you for this time. Thank you for everything. And we ask that you bless us as we go. In Jesus' name.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.